Blog Talk Radio.
Rather hear none of that.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Right, fellas.
Here we go. Turn me up in the headphones.
I got you.
Turn me up. Let's go.
You took the test over there. Oh, I see you, JQ.
Man, oh man.
I see you. Again, welcome to another amazing edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are wrapping up the month of August, gentlemen. And again, Leo season, Virgo season, all that fun stuff. It's been fun. It's been all that. I got folks yelling in the background. And it's officially good to have you guys here. Always, we definitely want to shout out to our brother Gary and his dad again, just to make sure everything is good with them. And I know we got Curtis on, and apparently we'll get Lou on in a quick second. But man, gentlemen, the preseason is wrapped up. We're ready to get to some real football, college football, NFL.
Yeah.
We got a lot of things to discuss. But let's check in with the fellas as always. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh man, I'm doing good. I'm doing better now. I thought, you know, a little scared this weekend, but baby girl's doing good. Everybody's good, so. Ready to just talk some sports. She scared me, made my heart drop down to my toes. I have to admit to it.
Yeah.
It's a scary feeling, but, you know, she's good now, so we're good.
So she learned a lesson about drinking and not getting dehydrated and stuff like that?
Hydration. Oh, yeah. I don't have to say nothing else to her for the rest forever. She experienced it firsthand, so, yeah, she's good now.
Okay. That's good. Man, I was feeling like, oh, Lord have mercy. That's a scary feeling, too, man. So we're making sure she's good. Shout out to her. And, again, a learning lesson. It's always a tough, you know, you don't want to have a hard head, right? What does that say? A hard head makes a, what is it, soft ass makes a hard head or something like that?
Yes, it does.
Right.
Yes, it does.
Oh, man.
She knows now.
Gotcha. Good stuff. We'll check in with Rob Ford. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, JQ. Obviously, happy everything's okay with your daughter. That's, I know that was a great opportunity to get a good hug in right there, you know. So definitely, you know, happy she's well. And definitely, as Andre started off, prayers go out to Gary and his dad. Obviously, still hanging in there, fighting for his life. Definitely praying for him to have a recovery and get through this. So keep fighting. Doing a show from Austin tonight, back in Austin, Texas, and you know, had to check on the Longhorns. You know, Steve Sarkisian, first year in Texas. You know, I think they might be a sleeper team this year. You know, I know they kind of a lot of people picking them like third or fourth in the conference. Oklahoma is clearly the favorite, and I think Oklahoma is their better team. I know Iowa State is picked by a lot of them to finish second, but I won't be surprised if Texas sneak their way into that Big 12 championship game before they move on to the SEC, along with Oklahoma. You know,
how long have we been saying that Texas is back? Like, let's just not talk about it. Let's just see it first.
I didn't say they're back. I said I wouldn't be surprised if they sneak their way in the Big 12 championship game. Oklahoma is clearly the best team in the conference. I mean, Oklahoma's even got a defensive line this year. They got some depth on the defensive line, so they're clearly. But obviously, Steve Sarkisian made the call to go with Hudson Card, redshirt freshman, over Casey Johnson, the junior, at the quarterback position. So I think he's going to be having a rotating the two as they open up this weekend. Against Louisiana. So, obviously, here in Austin and checking out the Longhorns, you know, you're in Texas, you got to get some steak, right? So I got a nice, mean piece of steak tonight. They didn't have asparagus.
Rob is going off.
Go with it. And some green beans and the Brussels sprouts were good. They were good. Yeah. And I know we did a prayer for Gary's family. I'd like to send out prayers to all the folks down in Louisiana. Louisiana.
I was going
to
say that.
Yes. Right. And definitely all my family and friends. I know we got a lot of people from Louisiana playing fantasy football with us, too. Seems as though everybody's accounted for and doing well. Hang in there. And our prayers and thoughts and prayers are definitely with you all. And I know a lot of people are going to be without power down there for a little while. But thankfully, it's got a better levee protection system in the city now, so the city's not flooded like it did for Katrina. But they're going to be without power from all the wind damage for a while. So hang in there. We're definitely praying for you guys. And, definitely don't hesitate to reach out if you need anything.
Absolutely. Prayers up, Louisiana. Crazy.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to do a shout-out for them, too, as well. Curtis, how you doing, sir?
Well, I second that about Louisiana. I was stationed in Gulfport for a year. I forget the years I was down there and got to know New Orleans pretty well. Had a real good time down there and did my service down there, a year of my service anyway. And that was pretty special, and it's a pretty special time for me. I want to give some love to the Portland Timbers for beating this top team in the West in their soccer up there in Seattle yesterday. That was a really good victory for Portland. And love for Gary's family. And I get an update on them every day. And, it's sad that we're at that point, his parents and me, that every second counts. And things can change in 1 second. And I'm fortunate. I feel fortunate. And I feel fortunate to be on this show today. Yay. Gonna have a good show today.
Let's go.
Good stuff, Curtis. We appreciate you. And like you said, life is definitely short, so you definitely want to make sure that you take advantage of those moments. And just it's been a trying week. You know, everything that happened, obviously, with your daughter, JQ, and everything that's happened, so just kind of, like, put things in perspective, too. So, we definitely want to cherish these moments. And like I said, I thoroughly enjoy spending time with you guys, and I can't wait for us at one time to do it. In Vegas or in Portland or whatever, just having a good time too. So just having that camaraderie has been something that we've had fun. Even whenever we had a chance to grab some lunch, that was a great moment too. So we want to keep those going. Hopefully we'll get a chance to do that again, and just keep this going, man. So because time is short. I know Lou, you're joining in a quick second. We'll get you in a quick deal, hopefully. Not that we're all solemn, because this is an exciting time to talk sports, if you will, too. But just
yes,
like I said, we definitely have the human side of everything, too. So we enjoy this as well. So we got a lot of things to talk about. We always on the numbers. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMEN Sports. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th man. And you guys always know the number to call in. 424-243-9519. We're going to talk with a quick shout-out to Rob here, Shohei Ohtani's impact on baseball. So, Rob, definitely talk about that. This is just an amazing that this pitcher has almost 40 home runs, if you will. And, there you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's got 41 home runs, 89 RBIs, 8-1 with a 3 ERA. I mean, this is like insane, right? We haven't seen a guy, he hit and pitched in the All-Star game. I mean, who does that, right? I mean, I know he had a round out All-Star game, but he pitched a scoreless inning in the All-Star game. I mean, the guy's just talking baseball right now. Obviously, he's not on the best of teams right now. And I know, he's playing in the big market, but he's not on the best of teams right now. And I know, obviously, Major League Baseball would like to continue to showcase him. But, I know there's some fans out there.
He better not go to the Yankees. He better not go to the Yankees.
He had his chance. He went to L.A. He had his chance to go wherever he wanted to go.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Rob. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry, I'm just saying.
But, you know, eventually he's going to want to come play with the best. I mean, you know, on that stage, you know, he's in that Babe Ruth conversation, right, which I still think is a little too early to put him in a category with Babe Ruth. But we just haven't seen this, and we hadn't seen this in almost 100 years in baseball, where you, this guy, you know, doing it on the, from a pitching standpoint, and you know, at the plate as well, power hitter at that. And he's brought a lot of fans back to the game as well too, and then not just here in the United States, but globally as well, especially in Asia. And he's a huge phenomenon, and when they're on TV, wherever I'm at, I'm watching all the time. So he's really just, you know, brought a lot of visibility back to the game of baseball. That's for sure.
And the stat you left out, that dude has stolen like 22 bases. Like, he's in the 40-20
club
for the Angels as well. Like, you talk about 5 tools, like 6 tools, because he's pitching as well. Listen, we have a 3 ERA. In the American League, that's probably about a 245, 255 in the National League, because you got the DH in the American League. What he's doing is just on a whole other level. And everybody's waiting for him to be a flash in the pan so they can say, oh, I told you so, he ain't that good. It's like, no, that big dude right there, Ohtani, is a beast. And there's just not enough to say, just go ahead and just give him the award now. Why even wait till October? Just go ahead and give him the AL MVP. And he's going to win it, like you said, Rob, with a team that's not even going to make the playoffs. But I don't even know who else you would give it to where it would be a legitimate argument in the American League. He's just such on another level. What he has happening, we're witnessing greatness. And we throw that term around, I think, sometimes too loosely. But what he's doing right now, pitching and hitting, is greatness in what we're seeing. And we're lucky to be able to say that we saw it live. Like, I don't hear you, Rob.
Yep.
When he's on TV and you walk past the TV, you stop and watch. And you may not watch the whole game, but you're going to stop and watch either that at bat or that half inning that he's pitched, and then you'll move on. But you're going to stop and watch it. And there's something to be said for that. Even the casual fans know about him. What he's doing right now is just on another level. You got to give him a whole lot of love.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get that dude the award. It's over.
You're right. He's at 20 stolen bases right now, too. And yeah, I didn't cover that. And he's the second greatest person ever to be born on July 5th.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Wow.
No, God.
Well,
happy, of course.
Oh, my gosh.
I got to I want to say, I got to cut into the Little League World Series this weekend and watch some little kids, you know, and their dreams of being big-time ball players.
Sorry.
And it was really neat that they picked two pro teams to go down there and play with the kids and play a game. And all that I thought was pretty special. And I didn't know that was going on in the Little League World Series. And apparently, they're picking teams to go play with the kids. And I think that is special and it's probably good for their bottom line, probably good for their business. And it was good to see. It was fun. But, yeah.
For Cincinnati.
Is making
Ohio lost to Michigan. That was the Cincinnati team, too.
Oh,
yeah,
that
helped.
Yeah.
Ohio won the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michigan beat Ohio. Yeah, it sucked. I was waiting for them to win. I would have been so just insufferable. That's why they probably didn't win.
She was right. He was waiting. Oh, man.
Waiting.
But I guess what we're trying to get to, Curtis, was like, you know, Shohei Ohtani's impact on baseball. Did you have anything to comment on that or no?
Yeah, what can I say? It's getting close, and it's, you know, Mr. October time. This is when I pay attention to baseball, when it gets to the playoffs and, of course, the World Series. And, you know, you look for mistake-free baseball. I do anyway, because I know the error stat gets you killed in baseball. And my dad always taught me to look at that error stat. And the team that makes the most errors lose. And it's one of the only games out there that the goal is to not make an error. Not make an error.
One error can cost you the game.
There it is. There it is. All right, gentlemen, good stuff on that. Let's move on to the next topic here. We're going to definitely get into some NFL talk because, again, we are wrapping up the preseason. And there's been a lot of interesting storylines. And I guess the first storyline we're going to talk about, it's bad that Gary isn't here. Curtis, you got to take the slack of, you know, Gary's favorite team, the Patriots, if you will. And I guess the question is, who will start for QB? Now, again, some people may be saying that Mac Jones is, you know, looking the part. He had some still questionable moments in the last preseason game, you know, holding the ball too long, if you will. You know, Cam obviously has that experience. So I guess that's the question. I mean, do you kind of throw in the rookie? I mean, Bill Belichick has been surprisingly quiet. You know that he probably knows quarterbacks, if you will. But right now, as much as JQ hates to hear about Cam going farther, you know, but he may get the nod, if you will, just kind of like kind of let Mac ease in. But what's the you about that, Rob?
I think Cam Newton's still the guy. I know that he had a little screw up, what have you, you know, being in the wrong place at the wrong
fault.
Time.
Yeah.
It was his fault. Yeah.
No, the receiver ran the wrong route.
Okay.
I was about to go ahead, Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
But yeah. So I think it's still gonna be Cam Newton. I mean, Mac Jones does show some promise. And Mac Jones may very well be starting, and depending on how well the Patriots do, this Patriots team should be pretty good this year, believe it or not. I mean, they enforced a lot of areas in free agency this offseason too. So don't sleep on Bill Belichick and his team. I think it's going to all come down to, you know, how well they start off. I mean, Mac Jones, we obviously know you picked the guy in the first round, so you know he's in the future. And I think it's going to come down to how well he starts this season. But if they get off to a good start, you know, okay, I think Cam Newton's going to be the guy all year. And then maybe you look to go to Mac Jones possibly next year. But if they get off to a slow start, then I think you'll see the change takes place this season. So I think it's really just going to come out to what their performance is like. But I think Cam Newton is going to be the starter day one. The little bit that we have seen of him in the preseason, he's actually played better than he has last year. But he's got more weapons around him, too, than he had last year, too. A little bit better offensive line as well. So I think they're going to give Cam Newton the opportunity to be the starter of this team. And, you know, I think you almost got to throw last year out the window a little bit because that personnel around Cam last season was awful. So I think you got to go back and think about what he did when he was with Carolina and now looking at what they have on board with him this season. I think they're going to give him an opportunity to succeed this year. So he's going to have to fall in order for Mac Jones to get that job this season, in my opinion.
Well, and I agree, but I also think about it. If you look at Bill Belichick, and he, you know, for him, to lose Tom Brady and have Tom Brady win the Super Bowl, and then what happened last year with Cam and his person around him, and you're right, spend all that money. But let's talk about the schedule. And this is why I really think that Cam starts the season, because Cam is a veteran. And he's been around, and Cam was doing everything he can to give it away by being an idiot and not following the COVID protocols and letting Mac Jones get a leg up on him. But this is why I say I think Cam starts the season. Week one, Miami, they can beat Miami. What we just talked about, what they did on defense everywhere, beat Miami.
Yep.
Week two, they play the Jets. They can beat the Jets. Week three, they play New Orleans. We don't know about Jameis Chess, but I still think, I think New Orleans wins that game, but I think Cam gives you a better shot to win that game against New Orleans. Week four, Tampa, lost. Switch to the side. Week five, Houston. That should be a win. Week six, Dallas. We don't know what's going on with Dallas and Dak, if he's going to be ready. That's a toss-up. So we just throw that one out there. We don't know. Week seven, they get the Jets again. So you got the Jets twice, Miami, and Houston, four out of your seven games. If you want to get your team off to a good start, I think you want to go with the veteran quarterback with all the people you brought in free agency-wise with Bill Belichick to get New England off to a good start. That's Cam Newton's test. If he can't go at least 4-3 in those first seven games and maybe not 5-2, I see where New England might go to a Mac Jones. But if I've brought all these veterans in, and I'm saying I'm trying to give us the best chance to win, and then you got New England, you know, and then they got to play Tampa, like I said, in week four, you want to get off to a good start. I think playing the veteran was a not an easy, but a little, you know, it's a favorable schedule for them to get off to a good start. Don't necessarily throw a rookie quarterback out there. He makes mistakes in games he should win and lose them versus having a veteran quarterback who has been an MVP in this league. Let him start, see what he does against that schedule, and then go from there. That's why I think Cam ultimately starts, because he gives them the best chance to get off to a good start against that schedule.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you're
good
right.
Yeah, I think so too.
But I think he's on a short leash. And you got to wonder about his judgment.
Very.
Apparently, he doesn't want to take the COVID shot. And what the league is doing about these people that are not taking that COVID shot. You know, because the league wants to come down on that in certain ways that I don't totally understand. But they're playing with fire when they don't want to conform to that COVID shot. And Cam is kind of playing with fire with that too. But I think he's on a short leash. And the fans, where are the fans going to go up there? If Cam is sucking and messing up, they're going to boo him and call for the rookie. So Cam is on some real shaky ground. He needs to play his butt off, which we know he can, we think. And if he can, like you said, they'll be 5-2 or 6-1 and looking good, because he adds that extra dimension with his legs that Mac Jones doesn't have. And being that veteran, he should be better than most of the other people he plays. Let's see it, Cam. You got to prove it. Prove it, Cam.
There it is. Good stuff. Good stuff. You need to add to that, Lou?
I mean, you know, Cam, you know, thought it was going to be the next Tom Brady and thought they were going to be, you know, Super Bowl champs again. That didn't really be the case. I mean, Cam has lost, you know, a lot, you know, in his career. I don't think he's going to be the starting quarterback.
All right.
I mean, and again, this wasn't a shot at the Jets, because they were playing the Bengals twice, I would say the same thing. So I just want to say, it wasn't a shot at the Jets. If they were playing the Bengals or the Jaguars twice in the first seven games, I would say the same thing. But if I'm a head coach and I've got a former MVP on my team and I signed him to stabilize my program, then I'm going to give him a shot as a veteran quarterback against a lighter schedule to start to see if he's still that guy. But remember, if you look back to last year, New England actually got off to a decent start, and then Cam got COVID and it wrecked their whole year. Yeah. And that's what happened.
That's what
so happened. If he doesn't get it again, if you say, well, what happens if Cam doesn't get COVID last year? What will he ultimately end up being? I think that's why he gets the nod against that kind of slate, because you don't want to give games away with a rookie quarterback in games that you feel like you can win. That's ultimately why I really feel like Cam gets the nod, because he actually played well at the beginning of last year before he got COVID.
And then all hell broke loose from there.
I agree with you.
It did.
And then what was it?
All hell broke loose.
I'm just stating, you know, that's what happened. All it took was that one little thing, and then it just wreaked havoc on the season. Sometimes all it takes.
Agreed. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with Curtis that he's on a very short leash, and they're saying if you can't do this against a favorable schedule, then we know we need to know we go on to Mac Jones.
There it is. All right. Well, like I said, I definitely agree with JQ. I think it's probably the right decision to go with the veteran. Like you said, at least kind of figuring out what's happening, because like you said, if you look at how they're starting out the gate, you know, that's kind of a soft schedule, but at least you have, you know, your veteran quarterback at least leading the charge, and that we kind of ease Mac Jones in there too. So definitely that sounds like a Bill Belichick type move actually too. So I agree with that wholeheartedly. We're keeping this moving, gentlemen, if you will. I got to make sure this is good for Rob shouting out in Texas, because apparently we knew that this was the biggest surprise, right? That we knew this was the worst kept secret, that Trevor Lawrence was going to be, you know, the guy. He definitely dazzled in his last game. He dazzled so much that the Jaguars was like F you Gardner Minshew, and they traded him to Philadelphia for a conditional pick, if you will. I think it was second pick, and then so I guess at least CJ Beathard as backup. And then, you know, I mean, I guess you got to look at that too, because Minshew, what, they were 1-15, so it's not like you were really missing anything. But, you know, it's just an interesting start. And speaking of schedules, like right out the gate, you're going to have, you know, the Jaguars playing the Houston Texans. And I don't know what type of assembly that team is going to be with whatever's happening over there. Is Deshaun Watson the guy? I don't even know, man. But so basically, let's talk about Trevor Lawrence, Rob, and then kind of your thoughts about how he definitely shined in his last game, making some great plays. And doing his thing, too. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, I think if you're Jacksonville, you need to see that out of him, because the week before against New Orleans on Monday night, he did not look good at all, and in my opinion. They looked like they were still trying to figure out what was the best way for them to utilize him. It looked like Darryl Bevell and Urban Meyer, you know, was having conflicts on how they wanted to utilize him. So his performance this past weekend, and it's still preseason, you know. Obviously, we got to take it with a grain of salt, right? But he did look a lot better, you know, 11 out of 12, couple touchdowns, moving the ball. He just looked better in the pocket than he did the previous week, right? And, you know, he had the protection, which is always important as well. So, you know, obviously we're going to have to see what we looked at. And Beathard looked good for them in the preseason too. So I guess Jacksonville is saying, hey, you know, we can get something in return from Minshew as well. And Beathard actually played pretty well in the preseason. So I guess they're making a decision to go with him as the backup here and move Minshew to the Eagles, give the Eagles some depth, you know, behind Jalen Hurts as well. But obviously good sign. Lawrence, even though he lost Travis Etienne, he should have some decent talent around him. I mean, obviously you still got the drama there. You got DJ Chalk as well. So you got some weapons around him right now. So he should have some decent talent. I expect this Jacksonville team to be a little bit better than they were last year. I mean, they got some playmakers on defense, Caleb on, Chase on. They still got Jack. They got some improvements with Shaquille Griffin in the secondary. And I expect them to be a little bit better this year. This should be a team I think should be competitive in a lot of games. I think they still only win about 4 or 5. But, you know, I think the step in the right direction for Trevor Lawrence, and I think they needed to see that after his performance the week before.
Sunshine.
I don't think it's really going to matter, if I'm being honest with you. If you look at their schedule, you start with Houston, you look at it, they got, like, Arizona, San Francisco. I got to go back and look at it again, but their schedule is brutal. For somebody that went 1-15, their schedule is awful. So,
you pick him first overall, and you got Minshew there, and you're right. But Minshew has given you glimpses of what he can be. But this is a move to say, hey, bro, you're our guy. This is what it's going to be. We're riding or die with you. So Houston week one, yeah, but Denver quietly has a sticky good defense. Then they play Arizona. Then they play Cincinnati. That's a game they can win. I know I'm a homer, but that's a game they can win. So Houston and Cincinnati. But then Tennessee, Miami. Seattle,
Buffalo.
Yeah, but then after the bye week, Seattle, Buffalo, Indianapolis, San Francisco are going to 4 games right off the bat. So I don't care who you bring, Gardner Minshew, you know, Drew Blood. I don't care who you go get. They're going to lose some games this year. That schedule is brutal, bro. Like, it's tough.
Yeah.
Welcome
to the NFL, Trevor and Irvin.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things of that's them committing to him and saying, hey, we're going to remove any semblance of competition, this is your team. But if whether he was starting or Gardner was starting it, they probably win 4 games max. So it's not going to matter, but it's just some of those things. This is your team, bro. He did look good, and I'll give him that. And it probably made them breathe a little easier, saying, poof, like Rob said, like, I need to see him put some good film out there for people to at least somewhat prepare for, because he was terrible And I think a part of that also was the whole ETN project they were trying to do, you know, trying to put that H-back role in. And now without him there, it's like, you know, James Robinson, James Robinson had a decent year for them last year. You make sure that he remains that guy, and you maybe go to a more conventional offense. So I'm not surprised, like you said, Drake, it's the worst kept secret in all of football. You know who's going to start. This is just them saying, hey, this is your team. You don't have to look over your shoulder at all. Even if you have bad games, we're not really starting C.J. Beathard. The only way we start C.J. Beathard is if you get hurt or get COVID. That's the only way he's playing any meaningful games. So that just is a peace of mind for Trevor Lawrence, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah. I agree.
Well, Tommy, another home run tonight, 42.
He's
ridiculous.
That's insane. They boo whenever they didn't pitch him right first to die. But, yeah, that's good stuff, man. Go ahead, Curtis.
I thought that was a good move, though, for Philadelphia to pick up Gardner. And it's no doubt in Jacksonville that Trevor Lawrence is their future, their man. What I want to say is I'm wondering about Nick Foles up there in Chicago. And Teddy Bridgewater and Denver. Tomorrow it's going to be a lot of movement. It's going to be a lot of cut down and a lot of people starting to practice. And I'm going to try to pay attention to where people go and what
that's right.
Plays people make. Deshaun Watson and Rob is in Texas. I want to know how much trouble that guy really is in. Trouble. Did he make a bad decision that's going to cost him this career and cost him a lot of money and a lot of embarrassment? And I think he did. And that I'm baffled by that. I'm baffled why he made that mistake, because he is a great quarterback. He could have.
Yeah.
What happened there with that guy that messed him up so much?
That's a whole different segment. You know what messed him up.
That's
but
true.
Miami took talking about trading for him.
Well, I mean, because of that, he's probably untradeable.
No,
yeah.
Miami's still talking about trading for him right now.
For what? I mean, I heard the rumors about that too, JQ. Yeah, that was actually interesting to see that too. They're all in.
Yeah,
Brian
Flores, he didn't make it a secret either.
No, they're still talking about trading for him, and that worries me about Tua because they still are on the. And again, Deshaun Watson is a known quantity outside of what he did off the field. On the field, Deshaun Watson is a beast. But if you spend that kind of capital, first-round pick, a high first-round pick on Tua, and you're still pursuing Deshaun Watson to that level, that leads me to believe that Miami is not at all sold on Tua, and that's a little scary.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, too, because, you know, we talked about what's happening. Curtis, it's kind of like the perfect storm with Deshaun Watson because he was asking for a trade. Everything didn't go the way he wanted, and then obviously the allegations came on, which we can talk about if that was whatever, just kind of bad timing. And then just, you know, obviously he has to kind of like, you know, tail between his legs, go back into the building and, you know, I don't want to get fined and stuff like that. But just, you know, them want to be there, except for the team. They're putting him on the inactive list. And it's like, you know, what's going to happen with him? And then now if you're trying to trade him, obviously his value is less. You can't ask for the 3 first-round picks anymore. So now you have to go there and say, well, what can we get for him? So, you know, obviously it's an interesting market for Deshaun. But, you know, we know that the Houston doesn't want to give, you know, they don't want to give them away for anything, but we'll see. If they can get something, you know, a first round or something like that, that may have to be the best they can get too. But just they're probably waiting for it to kind of blow over, if you will, what's happening on his side. So that's just kind of on that, if you will.
Pretty crazy to think if he stays with Houston, he's not going to even play this season. That's unbelievable. That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lame duck.
They're definitely in contention to be one of the worst teams in the league this year, for sure.
Yo, if Jacksonville and Cincinnati don't allow Houston to get the number one pick, they have both effed up. Because there's no reason why Houston shouldn't have the number one pick next year. That's going to be a whole dumpster fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it's not already.
You feel bad for
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
For that.
I do. I feel bad for the coach. Like, he left Baltimore with all those wins to go to Houston to go 1-15. That's terrible.
Yeah. No one's trying for them.
Hey, trading away the halfway decent players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
And I guess, do you think that was a good move for the Eagles to actually acquire Gardner Minshew, JQ? What do you think about that?
It's one of those other things of if you went and got Jalen Hurts and you moved on from Carson Wentz, then what are you seeing from Jalen Hurts that just does not have you so all the way? Because Gardner Minshew, like I said, he played on a bad team, and I give him that. But he electrified that Jacksonville team for a little bit. What are you not seeing from Jalen Hurts that makes you go get Gardner Minshew? Because you feel like once you get rid of Carson Wentz, you say, okay, Joe Flacco, not even an option. That's Jalen Hurts' team. Then you go get Gardner Minshew, who has had success and had a whole fan base all the way behind him. He had Minshew mania happening in Jacksonville. And you go get him and you bring him behind Jalen Hurts. And I just wonder, do you keep tweaking and messing with Jalen Hurts' confidence in his psyche by bringing in? And I understand competition brings out the best of everybody. It's supposed to. But if you feel like you've got that guy, I'm not going to trade any capital that I can use somewhere else to make my team better on another quarterback if I feel like Jalen Hurts is my guy. So I wonder about that from Philadelphia's standpoint of what they're seeing that just makes them feel like I got to have an insurance policy for him unless they have a trade in the works with Flacco or, you know, Destination X. I don't know where that is. But, it concerns me for Jalen Hurts' long-term viability in Philadelphia that they're already trading for another young quarterback to come back him up when you got rid of another quarterback and traded him. I know that's solid. And you talk about this thing. They took a huge salary cap hit Philadelphia did. So it's not like they gained a whole lot necessarily. I love it. That's a huge hit to their books this year. And he traded that guy and went and brought in another guy and missed you. It just leads me to believe that Philadelphia is still not sold on Jalen Hurts.
Right. Unless he's hurt more or something with that, like whenever he was like sick for the preseason, unless there's more behind it, that's something I can think of. They're not talking about something because I agree with you. I was kind of shocked, like, wow, they actually made that trade. And, you know, I get from Jacksonville's perspective, they don't, like you said, they don't want, you know, Trevor Lawrence looking over his shoulder, but it's just the team that he got traded to. You're like, huh, why the Eagles? So I'm curious about, like you talked about, getting that draft capital too. What say you, Rob?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, anytime you have an opportunity to add some depth to your quarterback room, and, you know, so I think it's a win for the Eagles, right? I mean, Jalen Hurts, you know, you got to have that depth at the quarterback position, right? And do they lose a lot going from Jalen Hurts to Minshew? Probably not, you know. I mean, Jalen Hurts hasn't shown us that he's an elite quarterback just yet. So I don't think they lose a lot, you know, if you know, Hurts gets, you know, injured for whatever reason, right? It, you know, it's important to have that depth at the quarterback position. And I think it was a good move if you're the Eagles. I'm actually, you know, even though I thought Bether was played well in the preseason, I was still surprised that Jacksonville made that move. You know, you got a rookie quarterback there. He could have been a good veteran backup to help guide him along the way. So I think if you're the Eagles, I think it was actually a good move. Anytime you can add some depth to your quarterback room, I think it's important.
But there's a thing, when we talk about Minshew, and we already talk about it, but he's still really young. Like when you see stuff like that happen more often than not, you end up going to get an older quarterback to come in that position to mentor those guys. I mean, Minshew's only, what, his third year in the league now? And Jalen Hurts was his second? So they're on par. That's why I was surprised by it, because from Jacksonville's standpoint, we talked about it. I'm clear out the competition. Trevor Lawrence, this is your team. But if I'm Philadelphia, I get rid of Wentz, and I feel like everybody thought they were committing to Jalen Hurts, and you go get another guy that's basically on par with him experience-wise in the league in terms of years, I was just shocked by that. Being Joe Flacco's not a threat to Jalen Hurts, right? He can teach Jalen Hurts good practice habits, how to study film, how to do things that all the veteran quarterbacks can do for a young quarterback. in the sleep. But when you go get Minshew, it's like, okay, like that's a threat to your job. You know what I mean? Like that dude is still young, and like you can still build around him for the next 10 years if he feel like he can end up being that guy. That's why I was surprised by the Philadelphia saying that I didn't think they're not fully committed to Jalen Hurts. You know, Joe Flacco is just a dude in there to teach him the ropes. That's what he's there for. That's where he is in his stage of his career. But bringing in Minshew behind him, it was like, I guess Jalen Hurts has gotten impressed a whole lot of people in the building.
First certificate, man. Y'all seen that mustache? That dude got to be 30, 40 years old, man. Come on.
He just got some HGH.
He's a young quarterback.
HGH. Every time I think
I was just surprised.
Every time I talk about the Eagles, I love to hear Curtis because Curtis always talks about the 22 street agents that beat the Cowboys.
43.
Every time he talks about the Eagles.
No,
are you here to talk about this, Curtis? Are you okay?
Yeah, we beat the Cowboys. A bunch of JQs and Andres, huh?
I'm sorry. It's sad for me to think that that team was never Jalen Hurts' team in the first place. I don't think they got him to back up Jalen. I think they may have him the starting spot. There's something about this. When Jalen Hurts lost his job to Tua in college, I think he set a pattern. That is not that popular. I don't think they ever really thought he was going to be their guy. And Minshew has a possibility that he might can beat him out and be the guy in Philadelphia and be a hero. But no love lost there for me because I didn't have to win that division, and it's the worst division in football. And if the Cowboys don't do it, it's going to devastate me because they're going to have to be as sorry as the other sorry teams in that division. Philadelphia is not going to be a
Washington
world
is
either.
Good.
Washington is good. Y'all going to stop hating on Washington.
Yeah,
Washington has a good team.
Yeah. I'm telling you, yeah, that defense is solid, and they got Fitzmagic, even though he does, you know, the defense will be enough to carry him. So, I agree. You got to watch out for them.
I was going to say that. So, is Gardner Minshew Ryan Fitzpatrick? Like, I kind of feel like he is. Like, he's going to give you some really good games, and he's going to give you some terrible games. He's going to get you really excited, and you're going to be depressed, and you're going to have a whole roller coaster of emotion with him. I feel like he's like Ryan Fitzpatrick 2.0.
Yeah. I think the difference, though, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick has shown you some moments where he's looked really good, and then he's just shown you some moments that he's errant. I don't think we've seen a moment yet where Minshew has been really good. He's been decent. And I don't think you've seen Fitzpatrick come out and have a 4 or 5 TD game here and there.
That's true.
You never seen Minshew do that. So I don't even think Minshew is in the Ryan Fitzpatrick category yet. I still think that's Jalen Hurts' team.
So
and, you know, Minshew just gives us some quality depth that can come in and be a steady guy for him. But he's never been a guy where he can come in and throw 4 or 5 touchdown passes in the game. Now, you know,
but you talk about
Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
You talk about Fitzpatrick now, though. You talk about Fitzpatrick in the past couple of years. A young Ryan Fitzpatrick in the NFL always gives you 4 or 5 touchdowns. He gets you excited with 2 or 3 and they have a terrible game behind it. So I ain't going to say he was always like that. Like, it's an ascension for him to where he can give you those 4 or 5 touchdown games and come behind it with 3 interception games. But I get what you're saying, but that's the maturity level, the years of experience in the league now, difference between the two. I just feel like maybe Gardner Minshew is that guy on that path to being like a Ryan Fitzpatrick. Not that he's equal to it.
Yeah, it's possible. I still think that's Jalen Hurts' team.
Yeah.
I still think Hurts have shown you a lot more. Minshew has been average at best at the quarterback position. He hasn't shown you anything electrifying, just yet. And you know, Hurts, he won some games toward the end of the year last year with the Eagles too.
Yes, he did.
How many games Minshew won with Jacksonville? 2 in 2 seasons? So he's averaging 1 win a year?
Oh, man.
2 in 2 seasons.
that's crazy. And I kind of agree with what Curtis said. That was a really good point about, you know, Tua and Hurts. But I will say this.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the staff that, you know, they got a new coaching staff too. So maybe they may not be, you know, obviously fans of Jalen Hurts. So, you know, that means that was a previous staff. So you got to think about that too. Maybe they want to get their guy in there. So, you know, I don't know. There could be something with that too. Well, was it Nick Sirianni, whatever, is the coach now. So, yeah, something to think about. He may not be married to Jalen Hurts before, too. So, good stuff.
Oh, man, a hotel lamp went out of my desk.
Uh-oh. Let's talk about some interesting thing. I know we had a very, very, very interesting situation over the weekend in that, you know, man, just kind of hurts to see J.K. Dobbins get hurt. You know, you always hate to see that in the preseason. And I guess the situation is that, you know, it's tough because you're trying to make that balance, but then it seems like at least on the other side, you know, Ravens have some other running back options. But just kind of talk about that, JQ, your thoughts about that. And just, you know, just I hate to – we hate to see stuff like that, you know, for a meaningless preseason.
Yeah, and you know, it's pretty sweet for me because, of course, he went to a division rival in Baltimore, but he's a Buckeye, and I always have a whole lot of love for J.K. Dobbins. And we talked about it on a group text, and it's like, you saw what J.K. Dobbins could do last year. He's not a rookie trying to prove his worth or make the roster. Once you let Mark Ingram go and you get rid of that three-headed monster they had with Ingram, Dobbins, and Gus Edwards, and now it's just Dobbins and Edwards, I just don't even understand it. Quarterback, running back, probably – wide receiver, cornerback, defensive end. I just don't see the point of putting him out there to be successful with the injury. If that happens in week two when all the chips are on the line, it sucks. I get it. But you're playing him in a game that means one step on the road to the Super Bowl or not. So I get playing him in week two. But playing him in week three, you know, in a meaningless game when you know you've seen it, you've got a whole year of tape on him. You know what J.K. Dobbins can do. I just don't understand that. And I know Harbaugh is trying to defend it. But you can't. And it's unfortunate, and it's just one of those things that happen in football, and I get that. But I'm a firm believer at certain positions, like running back, that you just don't put that guy in harm's way. He's taking too many hits. It's too many things that can come to chance with somebody falling in the back of his leg. You know, just craziness that can happen. I just don't understand when he's going to be the future. You drafted him last year to be the future, I think, to move on from Ingram and have him play that role. You saw him be able to play that role. They really shifted to J.K. Dobbins towards the end of the stretch last year and kind of phased Mark Ingram out a little bit. You know what he can do. I just don't understand why you're putting him in harm's way. I don't.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's a second guess after the fact. But, you know, and it was interesting to look at this third preseason week, right, and see how every team approached it differently. You know, back in when we had the four preseason games, the third weekend was the one that teams played their starters the most. And so this year, a lot of teams played it differently, right? You saw the Steelers that didn't play their starters at all in this third preseason game. They said, hey, this is the last preseason game. We're not going to play our starters. Then, hey, Buccaneers, this was the only one that Tom Brady played in. They played their starters in there. They didn't play them in the first two games.
It was Bengals. They played in week two against Bengals. They played one drive.
Oh, Brady did? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that and live in the Tampa. every team just approached this preseason, this third week, just very differently. I mean, Carolina didn't play their starters much in the first 2 weeks. This third week, I mean, they played their starters, even though Pittsburgh did. And, I mean, Darnold and those starters went off on the Steelers. So it was really interesting to see how all these teams decided to play their starters. But I agree with JQ. The running backs, those are the guys you don't want to play. I mean, you look at the Saints. They didn't play, even though the Saints only had two preseason games because this past weekend was canceled. They didn't play Kamara in any games. And they say, hey, we're going to sit your ass down and get you ready for the regular season. And because the running backs are the ones who's taking the hits, right? And, you know, you want to give them, especially when you got a guy, as JQ mentioned, that you know what they can do already, right? The J.K. Dobbins of the world, the Christian McCaffreys, the Derrick Henrys, the Alvin Kamaras, those guys, you know, maybe a rookie, you want to get him some work in there, right, and get him ready. But the veterans, that they've shown what they can do already. The running back position takes more hits than anybody else. Yeah, you don't want them out there. I can see you want to get your quarterback some work. I can see you want to get your defense some work, and you want to get your receivers some work, get some chemistry in there. But the running backs, your star running backs, those are the ones you don't want, you know, to take those hits. Leave them out. Get them ready for week one.
Yep.
Yeah. How sad was that? It was terrible. And I think it was a mistake also. But going forward, like I said, cut down Tuesday. I think Baltimore got to take a hard look at every team and every running back that gets released. And this is their opportunity to get, and they're going to have to get maybe two or three guys off the wire and off the wire thing that are hungry and want a job and want to be, you know, the best they can be. They're in a pretty good situation with trying to get a replacement or get two people to replace them with this cutdown Tuesday. But I think they realized they made a mistake, and I doubt they will make the same mistake again. But they got an opportunity to fix it, and they really got to put their nose to the ground and pick that person that did not make it on somebody else's roster that can do damage on theirs.
Well, you know what? You got a good point, and I just thought about when you were talking about that, Curtis. If you look no further than the Texans, because quality the Texans have, like, three running backs. They've got Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay, and David Johnson. And you're looking at all those guys making a little bit too much money to have all three of them, and you got a former Baltimore assistant coach also coaching the Texans. Is there a Mark Ingram reunion in the works back to Baltimore? You're right. They absolutely have to be scouring the wire, the waiver wire. But you look at those that team, I just don't know how you keep all three of them. I mean, maybe it's David Johnson that gets cut. But there will be running backs out there to be had. I just don't know if none of them are up to the level of J.K. Dobbins. I think we've all said it. I just don't understand why you even put him in harm's way after I appreciate the game. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no justification of that at all. All right, guys. So we got about 8 minutes left in the total show. So if you want to get the last opportunity to talk about any topic, I'm going to let you guys pick a topic and go from there. So, Rob, really appreciate you putting in the college football predictions because we have some games this weekend, which would be amazing.
Sir.
But if you want to talk about that, that's cool. You know, obviously Rhonda goes back to Lakers. That's pretty big for you, JQ.
No, I didn't.
I just wanted to, you know, I'm not trying to talk junk, I promise, you know. And then Amani Bates, that's a big time recruit, goes to Memphis too. Like we talked about, Penny Hardaway is recruiting his ass off, man. So good stuff. But I don't know if you guys want to talk about anything. The floor is yours, and we're going to wrap the show. So go ahead and start with you, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, we'll start right with the college football prediction. Just the first big weekend of college football. And we got a few big games on the slate, you know, a couple in the Big Ten, Penn State and Wisconsin. You know, I look for this Penn State team. Obviously, last year with the COVID situation, they got hot toward the end of the year. I look for that team to be better this year. But I look for Graham Mertz to be better, too, at Wisconsin, too. So this is going to be a really intriguing football game as well. So I'm going to go with Wisconsin at home on a squeaker. But I think it's going to be close on this one. I can see something like 27-24 or 35-31. I think it's going to be a real close football game in the Big Ten. Alabama and Miami next. Alabama's going to win. I know that Bryce Young, sophomore quarterback, no surprise. Got Nick Saban just announced he's going to be the starter. I know they're playing this game in Atlanta, I believe.
I'll be there.
Yeah. Look for them to look for Alabama to win that game, unfortunately, much as I hate them. Indiana and Iowa are intriguing, too. And, it's going to be an intriguing matchup, too. Indiana, I'm going to go with Iowa. I'm going to go with Iowa at home.
in another close game. Yeah, in another close game. I'm going to go with Kirk for French. Pulling in for now. I can see something like a 33-30 kind of ball game. I'm going to go with them in the close one. Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns at Texas. And Louisiana, they've been real competitive the last few years, you know, going to, you know, having some 10-2 seasons, and et cetera. But I think Steve Sarkisian, I think he's going to pull this one out at home in Texas. I look for him to somewhat right the ship there, you know, bringing that pro-style offense to that team. You know, he's getting the personnel there. I think Texas is going to win this game. But then the game of the weekend, Georgia at Clemson. This one's going to be big. I think they're playing in Charlotte, if I'm not mistaken. And,
they are.
This one's going to be big. Another close one, I'm going to go with Clemson. In a tight one. Yeah, I'm going to go 36-33 Clemson. Yeah, you talked about Rondo to the Lakers. The Lakers got, you know, 35 and older ball club. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with the 35 and older. But obviously
Russell Westbrook
like
treated hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
Russell Westbrook
and,
treated
Penny
hilarious.
You mentioned with Penny Hardaway, you got to give the kid a lot of credit. Now, you know, obviously when he had Wiseman, he only had Wiseman for like 4 or 5 games, and then he was suspended the rest of the year. So he's got to be able to keep the guys in school for a full season to get the full benefit of it. But, you know, obviously if Penny Hardaway walks in your door, you know, you're going to have a good opportunity. And Memphis has got a good basketball tradition too. So on top of that, you know, I'm you know, obviously, I'm going to root for the brother. Then you got Rasheed Wallace as an assistant coach. I mean, come on, man. Who don't want to go play for Rasheed Wallace? Can you just hear him from the bench saying, ball don't lie, as an assistant coach? I mean, come on. Come on, man.
If you don't have a team that can win the championship, you know that guy's one and done. What do you really get out of it? I mean, yeah, it helps you to get that one guy that comes in and you can point these guys down the line. But with the one-and-done rule right now, Memphis doesn't have enough 2-15 on the rest of that roster to win the title, and he's gone. So, yeah, it's flashy, but you're not going to win the title, so what does it really mean? That's why I shake my head out like that. I enjoy it for Penny. Don't get me wrong. But if you don't win the title in that year, and I don't think they're a ready-made title-winning team right now, and he's gone, then what did you really do? So that's my only thing. I'm with you on all the games except for the Big Ten games. I think Penn State has too much speed for Wisconsin. And I think Indiana has got to be a really good program. They keep losing to us, but I think they're going to have too much speed for Iowa. I really do. Those teams out there in that Midwest, that upper Midwest, Wisconsin, Iowa, I just don't think they're going to have enough speed to compete. I can be wrong. We're going to find out. Who knows more about the Big Ten, me or you. But I just think Penn State and Indiana has too much speed for Iowa and Wisconsin. I really do. I think they're close games.
I really could. But I think like speed. They were tough picks. And I went with the home team on both, but I think both games are going to be extremely close. But I could definitely see exactly what you're saying. Penn State came on strong last year, and I expect them to be better than what they're ranked as being ranked 19th right now. I mean, I could really see that on both ends.
It's just a speed.
In the end,
that's
all
different.
Right?
Yeah, the speed difference.
Quarterback healthy, Benjamin?
Nah, he's hurt, but they got speed everywhere else on the outside and at the running back. They got a good squad. I got to give them credit. They got a good squad.
Yeah.
Tennessee is still hurt.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to our live edition. We're talking sports with the 12th man on a special edition of Monday Night Tonight. So we thank you all for tuning in. We may have a brief OT portion. Next week, I believe we're going to be back on our Tuesday night schedule, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, right after Labor Day, 10 p.m., 8 p.m. for our friends in Fresno. Fred, hey, if y'all watch Fox College Football on Saturday, they were talking about Fresno. So, you know.
They kicked the shit out of UConn.
Yeah.
They keep the shit out of UConn.
Woo! Yep. They were talking about the city of Fresno and driving through it.
They were.
They biting off.
Wow.
They were. I saw that. And I saw, you see Eddie George on game day? Eddie George got on game day. Everybody else picked Fresno State. Eddie George, I'm going to pick UConn just because. And Jackson Howard said, well, any chance you have going undefeated in these picks just went by the wayside. And then Fresno State beat him by like, what, 58 to nothing or something crazy. Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah. Good stuff. Curtis, any last things you got to say real quick?
Yeah, what I want to mention is I'm going to enjoy the National Football League. But with college right now, the two Oregon teams are playing, well, Oregon State's going to Purdue. I don't think Purdue's a juggernaut. For Oregon State, I guess that's a pick 'em. Let's see how they compete, and let's see how they're ready. But in week two of the college season, Oregon is going to the Horseshoe in Columbus,
Ohio.
Yes,
they are. Yes, sir.
They're not going there to just compete. They're going there to beat the University of Ohio State.
Let's go.
Oh,
we're going to find out,
Jake,
Curtis.
This time.
You're going to find out, Curtis.
Well, we're going to see how this boy recruits and what, you know, Cristobal. He's turning into a really good coach, and he's turning into a really good recruiter. And he's got some kids here that are going to be in pro football. And Oregon always gets kids in pro football.
Might be the number one pick in the draft next year.
He might get about four kids in a pro game. And here we go. Oregon could be on the map.
Here we go.
Oh, snap.
Here we go. Well, you know what happened last time Oregon played Ohio State in the championship game? We know how that ended, so. I'm just going to put that out there for you.
It's going to be hard for me to pick against Ohio State in that one. In the Horseshoe, too?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's getting JQ high.
That's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That's why we love college football. That's why I like the Alliance. I like the early season scheduling. Let's get some heavyweight spikes going early in the season. Let's see what we're made of. I mean,
for every five-star Oregon gets, Ohio State probably has three or four.
Their first game is against Fresno State. And Fresno State, Chip Kelly, looked really good this weekend. They really did. Fresno State beat up, I think it was Hawaii, like they stole
them. UConn.
Like they stole them.
No, UConn. Fresno State beat UConn.
Yeah.
UCLA beat Hawaii.
Oh yeah,
that was a mud stomping.
And they were both beat downs. Mm-hmm. Beat downs.
Yeah.
So yeah, ooh, that's a tough start.
What do you say?
They start with Fresno State, Ohio State back to back. Listen, if they pull off those two games for Oregon, they put themselves square on the mat for the college football playoff. That's a tough start for Oregon. I love the scheduling. That's a tough start.
Yeah.
I give Oregon a ton of respect for putting that on the schedule. That is a tough start.
Besides getting monkey stomped, it's not a good. That's bad.
Yeah, they shouldn't be playing any games. They shouldn't. Phil Knight University. And Phil Knight's getting up there. Yeah, it's time for him to sell more shoes. Let's go.
Yeah, but Fresno State, game last week, might crack the top 25. So if you're talking about playing two top 25 teams in back-to-back weeks, I mean, you can't be mad at them for what they just did schedule-wise for Oregon. That's a tough start, and I give them credit for doing it.
Right. Yep, that's what it is. All right, gentlemen. Well, like I said, unless you have anything to say, I think we got through an amazing show. Appreciate you getting to the predictions. I know, like I said, we were excited, Rob. Thank you for putting that in there. And, you know, obviously, again, JQ, we're definitely not trying to get you riled up, just more or less, like, interested to hear some details about what's happening, obviously, at Rondo.
even though ARP is calling for the Lakers, but we'll see how that plays out too. They do have a lot of experience, and that's good news. So, you know, I'm curious to see how that
can
be. But anyway, gentlemen, as we talked about, I'm not talking junk. I'm just giving you a hard time. But it's going to be exciting to say the least, yeah, for sure.
Hey, look at the roster. Yeah. Got 10, 12 guys that can play. So, man, he's going to have a lot of interchangeable parts.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I'm just quietly waiting on it to start so I can see what's going to happen. And, like, I'm like, no, they old, I get it. But they got some dudes that know how to play basketball, too. So if everybody adjusts their roles to try to get that ring, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Yep.
All right, guys. So it looks like we'll be on the show next week, and I'm not sure how your boy keeps finding this man, but we'll see if he jumps on. Then that's I think I know how he's figured this out, man. I'll reserve the right to talk about that next week too, because I'd have an idea. We'll see. So I've eliminated two things, and now I'm thinking the third thing is definitely the way that he's figuring this out. So just a little FYI, because there was no mention of anything popping up on anywhere. So I'm curious how he just knew to jump on tonight. So, all good. Hey, Curtis, have a great week, bro. You guys will be in touch over the weekend, too. I know we'll have that fun. Make sure the daughter stays safe as well, JQ. And, guys, again, it's been fun times. We'll see you guys same time. What was that?
I can't thank you guys enough.
Hydrate. It's too hot in the summer.
That is
yes,
true. Hydrate is definitely the way to go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't thank you guys enough for this show and my opportunity to speak on this show and maybe give it a little different perspective. You know, it's part of my life, and I love life, and I love being here with you guys. So to me, this is fun, and it's interesting, and it's sports. I'm living now and enjoying my sports like I always have my whole life. Cool.
Yes, sir. I see you in week two, Carter.
We're all doing the same.
Hanging there.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All good. Hey, guys. See you guys. Have a great rest of your day, man, and we'll talk to you guys soon. See you guys. Peace.
All right, y'all. Talk to you later.